anybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And that's so rough. That's a penalty.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's still plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that. He hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free sting.
This is Late Hits. Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
We are the only live, local, and consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. On the H&P listener line, on the text line, on Twitter at PCreighton1. Trey Campbell on the other side of the glass, the master controls, at Juggalo underscore Trey 48 at ESPN 97.5. And, of course, on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. And have you signed up for our ESPN 97.5 listener email yet? You know, you get all the latest info on everything that's happening here at ESPN 97.5, including our upcoming events. And, of course, there'll be a big event next week. There'll be the AJ going away party. So you'll find out about that, about all our giveaways, a chance to be highlighted as our listener of the week. Just go to ESPN975.com and click subscribe. And you will never not know what we're up to, where we're going, what we're doing, and how to get free stuff. Because who doesn't like free stuff? Chuggy Trey, do you like free stuff?
Of course.
What's your, and obviously we're talking about realistic free stuff, not, yeah, I want like a free $1 million. I want a free Bentley. What's your preferred free item?
I really love free hats.
Free hats.
Yeah, free hats.
I'm good with hats. Hats are always good. Because even if it's not a hat that you really like, you wear it in the pool, you wear it to the beach, wear it in the water. Doesn't matter if you mess it up. You know, it's that's your protecting me from the sun while I'm in the water and I'm going to mess it up hat. Hats are good. Shirts are good. I'm not a koozie guy.
Really?
Not a koozie guy.
I can understand that. I haven't really known the appeal of a koozie either.
You know, to me, they're a pain in the ass, really, more than anything else. The best things that they're good for throwing at people. But generally, I just find them to be a gigantic pain in the ass. We said coming up 8:04, we're going to give away some tickets to Booker T's Reality of Wrestling's Summer of Champions 7, their biggest event of the year. It goes down Saturday, August 14th. Now, we'll give away 2 packs, 4 packs, and 6 packs. And the best part is you get to choose whether it's a 2-pack, a 4-pack, or a 6-pack. First 3 callers at 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. First 3 callers, you'll all get to pick. Do you want a 2-pack, a 4-pack, or a 6-pack? Saturday, August 14th, Summer of Champions 7. Booker T will be there. I will be there. The Boat Brad Gilmore will be there. There'll be a great card, lots of terrific matches, and it's a fun time. You have kids, bring your kids. Your kids are going to love it. Summer of Champions 7 at the Booker T World Gym Arena in Texas City, Saturday, August 14th. First 3 callers, you get your choice, 2-pack, 4-pack, or 6-pack. All right, with the NBA draft coming up, 2 of the top 4 prospects in the draft. Well, they were talking today, and again, thanks to our buddy Mark Berman, Fox 26, for all of these recordings. But Cade Cunningham, we'll hear from Cade first. First, Cade discussing why he decided he was only going to meet with one team.
You know, I wanted to meet with the team that had the number one pick because I feel like I'm the number one pick. So I met with Detroit. They're the ones that have the pick. If the Rockets go get the number one pick, then, you know, maybe I'll meet with them if there's enough time. But, you know, that's just that's the way that we went into it. I felt like I prepared myself to be in this position. So, you know, I'm going to stick with it. And, you know, I'm happy to see where I go.
I don't, to me, he's been the consensus number one pick for months. And if I were Cade Cunningham, I'd probably say, you know what, I'm going to be the number one pick. And I'm going to go meet with the team that's got the number one pick, and that's it. I don't need to go meet with anybody else. I'm going number one. I'm sure he's been told he's going to be the number one pick. I feel fairly certain that everything that we have seen, read, heard regarding this idea Detroit would either trade the pick or pick someone else is pretty much just a giant smokescreen. To me, the only way Detroit trades this pick is if they get the Hall of Halls. Like, they need to basically own another team's soul for the next decade if they're going to give up this pick. But theoretically, it is possible that they could pick somebody else, or they could trade the pick. And, you know, the Rockets obviously have long been reported of being in love with Cade Cunningham, and they really would like to get Cade Cunningham, and, you know, trying to decide, all right, is it worth it for us to move up? Is it feasible for us to move up? Well, here's what Cade Cunningham had to say regarding your Houston Rockets.
I feel like, you know, having young pieces that, you know, you can build with and build on is important. And, you know, Houston is a team that has a lot of things that they're trying to get back to. And so, you know, I'm excited to see where they're going with it. Kevin Porter, you know, started getting things going, and he's looking like he's on track to have a great career. They got Christian Wood and just some more guys that, you know, are ready to start getting comfortable in the NBA. So definitely an intriguing spot for sure.
So Cade Cunningham, who doesn't expect to be a Rocket, but should he find himself in a situation where he might be a Rocket, spoke highly of a couple of players and seems like he would have no problem being a member of the Houston Rockets. So you know what? He said the right things. He didn't give you any nonsense. And the fact that he was able to speak about the team off the top of his head, drop at least two players. You know what? Cade Cunningham obviously has paid enough attention to the Rockets at number two, even though maybe it's a 2% chance that the Rockets are somehow able to come away with Cade Cunningham. He knew enough about them. And said, you know what? If the Rockets wind up with the pick, then, you know, maybe there's enough time for me to meet with them before. But realistically, I got to believe if the Rockets do come away with Cade Cunningham, it's probably going to be something that happens right there on draft night during the draft. Because if you're Detroit, you want to make sure, hey, this is what we want. So, you know, they draft Cunningham, they tell the Rockets who to draft, and then after the Rockets make the draft pick, then they agree to the swap with whatever the other, you know, pieces the Rockets have to add in would be. Now, Evan Mobley, he's the big guy in the top four prospects in the draft, and I know that you know, playing on the West Coast, a lot of people here in Houston may not have gotten to see a lot of Mobley. Well, here's Mobley talking about what kind of player he feels he is.
I feel like my agility and length and defensive presence is my top main things that make me different. I feel like I can guard almost every position and move my feet very well, as well on the offensive end. I can shoot the ball on a pretty well clip, and then as well as put it on the floor, run the floor as well really good. So that's some aspects I feel like that are a little bit different or better than other bigs.
So Mobley kind of sees himself as a unique type of player, different from most other bigs. And of course, he's a guy who, you know, started playing basketball as a guard and just kept growing and growing and Gee, I wish I could have had that problem. Hey, I'm going to be 6'4". No, wait, I'm going to be 6'6". No, wait, I'm going to be 6'8". No, wait, I'm going to be 7 feet tall. Never even hit 5'10". I feel like I've been cheated. I feel like I've been scammed and flim-flammed. But a unique player in that he's a big who can put the ball on the floor, who has handles, who demonstrated in college an ability to play elite-level defense as both a rebounder, a shot blocker, without picking up fouls. And usually the biggest issue for any big is that when they're young, they tend to pick up a ton of fouls. He doesn't pick up fouls. And that's a big deal. He also understands he's not going to be number one, but is there a possibility that he could be number two? Here's Evan Mobley's comments on your Houston Rockets.
Young, a very young team and very athletic. I'm also young and athletic, so that's very exciting.
These guys, I mean, look, the Rockets are a young team, and I think anybody who's going to come to the Rockets at two understands this is a young team. They're not ready to contend yet, but whoever gets taken at number two, they're basically going to be the guy. They're going to be the guy that this team is built around. They're going to be the new leader on the team. And, you know, if you're a young guy and you've got the prospect of being drafted number two and being the guy on the team, well, that's exciting for a lot of guys. I'm going to be the guy they build around. I'm going to be the guy who leads them back to the playoffs and ultimately to a championship. And not afraid of it. Now, in something rather disturbing to me, seems like there's a whole bunch of guys who just want to play for the Lakers again. We'll tell you who they are next.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Hey, what's up, my friends down at the West Bar and Grill? You know, the West is a Beaumont institution. The West is always a great place to catch all the games all the time. Why? Because they got all the games all the time. In fact, every Astros game from now through the end of the season, Crawford Box, $3 pints during all Astros games. Every Thursday, half-price burgers all day long. And if you're not down with burgers, well, there's steaks and shrimp and wings and catfish and all kinds of great stuff on the menu. You know, of course, they're going to have all your favorite beers and wines and spirits, so you can enjoy your meal and your drinks while you're taking in the games or while you're playing your favorite pub games, because, well, they've got pretty much all of them. Pool, darts, ping pong, shuffleboard. Maybe you like me, you like the arcade games. Well, they got a bunch of them down at the West. Happy hour in effect all day until 6 o'clock. Ask for my buddy Mike Hamilton. Mike's the owner. He's going to take great care of you. The West Bar and Grill, 6445 Calder Avenue in Beaumont, half mile north of I-10. Check out their Facebook page for events at the West Bar and Grill. Get your friends together and head to the West, a Beaumont institution. 8:34. We'll do our final giveaway for Summer Champion 7, Booker T's Reality of Wrestling. It's Saturday, August 14th. It's their biggest event of the year. It's always a stacked card. Booker T does a great event. Summer Champion 7. We'll give away tickets again. 8:34 is the time to call in on that. All right, this idea that everybody wants to play, and we've seen this before, everybody wants to play for the Lakers. Everybody wants to play for the Lakers. And you kind of got the, all right, maybe we're finally getting away from that with, you know, the quote, the super teams being broken up, and everybody was pretty much a big two. Well, after the Brooklyn Nets decided to make themselves a big three, not that they could keep those guys on the court, but now into the offseason, it's who wants to be a Laker again? And two very prominent players both wanting to be Lakers. And it's funny because one of them, DeMar DeRozan, last time he was a free agent, Lakers didn't want him. And the other one, Kyle Lowry, who was available at the trade deadline, well, the Lakers didn't want to trade for him. However, both of these now former Raptors apparently want to be teammates again on the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, DeRozan, went to Compton High, was a star there, was a star at USC, and supposedly wants to go home and play for the Lakers. Lowry is interested in joining the Lakers as well. Now, I am interested to see how the Lakers are supposed to be able to afford all of these guys, because DeRozan made like $28 million last year. And, you know, looking at the Lakers right now, as of right now, they're $10 million over the cap. Now, they've got a bunch of cap holds, of which, you know, if they released all these cap holds, they'd have some money. But even releasing all these cap holds, unless both of these guys are taking monster discounts, there's no way that they've got enough money to put all these guys on the team. And even with monster discounts, you're still talking about minimum salary city to fill out the roster. Right now, the Lakers have seven players under contract. And one of them, Alphonso McKinney, has a non-guaranteed deal. One of them, Montrezl Harrell, has a $9.7 million player option. You know, then it's LeBron making his 40-plus, Brow making his 35-plus, KCP and Kuzma both making 13. So there's definitely no room for two more high 20, low 30 million dollar a year players like Lowry and DeRozan. Are they really willing to take, you know, like $8, $10 million deals? I mean, look, if they're willing to take it and that's the path they want to go, that is just, to me, it is blatant, disgraceful coattail riding. That's two guys literally trying to ride on LeBron and Anthony Davis and trying to, you know, get carried to another ring. It's like, you won your ring. Why are you trying to... why are you trying to coattail? Like, I understand guys coattailing if they never won. But both of those guys won, thanks to Kawhi Leonard. Both of those guys won.
I thought DeRozan was thrown in with the Kawhi trade, right?
No, Kawhi signed as a free agent.
To the Raptors?
To the Clippers.
Oh, I thought you meant the Raptors. DeRozan won with the Raptors.
Oh, Kyle Lowry won.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, DeRozan was part of the trade from San Antonio. So, no, DeRozan didn't win. So, no, you're right about that. But Kyle Lowry won. I guess that explains DeRozan. He wants to coattail to a title. I hate coattail to a title.
Isn't that what Karl Malone tried to do?
He did. So did Gary Payton.
He actually got his ring, though, right, Gary Payton?
Later on, yeah.
I don't think Karl Malone did.
He did not.
Thank God.
Karl Malone did not ultimately get his ring. But we've seen a lot of guys try to coattail it.
T-Mac.
Guys who have tried to coattail it at the end of their careers. And like, if you're really at the end of your career, like if you're like in your late 30s and look, you're not really a starting caliber player anymore. Now you're a Now you're more of a backup, and you're trying to latch on with a team that's going to give you a shot to win. I understand that. You're a backup player. You're not trying to you're not trying to be a starter. You're not trying to get yourself all this glory. You just want to win a ring as you're an older player as a backup. DeRozan doesn't look at himself as a backup. And neither does Kyle Lowry. You guys want to start. They just want to coattail. And I hate that. Now, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they have some high hopes. And when I say they have high hopes, I don't mean they have high hopes about contending. I don't mean they have high hopes about a certain guy falling to them. I mean, they have high hopes that they can somehow move Kevin Love and the $60 million remaining on his contract. Now, maybe Kevin Love wants to be traded. That's great. He's still got $60 million coming his way. Now, the Cavs are trying to move Colin Sexton. Now, here is the danger zone for the Cavs, right? Do you trade Colin Sexton basically just to get somebody to take Kevin Love? Because that seems like an incredibly high price to pay to get rid of a guy that you don't want and doesn't want you. But I guess it's possible because, I mean, look, Kevin Love is so bad right now. He stepped off Team USA because he sucked. He's 32 years old. He's got 2 years at $30 million basically left on his deal. And he looks awful right now. I don't know that they can even move him. I mean, it might take Colin Sexton to get somebody to take Kevin Love for 2 years. Now, if you're the Rockets and you know you're not contending any time in the next 2 years, I still don't think I'd take Kevin Love because I've already got John Wall. He's my super high-priced guy I'm stuck with. You know, is it possible to move Eric Gordon? Maybe, you know, we've heard some rumblings that, you know, there were some discussions about Eric Gordon. Maybe they could move him. Maybe they could move him to Indiana. Look, honestly, if you can get rid of Eric Gordon's salary and let him go to a team that might have a chance to go to the playoffs, that's a win for both sides. The Rockets don't need to be paying Eric Gordon. And Eric Gordon doesn't need to be, you know, basically wasting away on an awful franchise right now. But there is concern about Kevin Love, A, diminishing production, and B, lousy attitude. Who wants that at $30 million a year? Would you want more? Would you actually want more? Say, hey, you know what? Colin Sexton's nice, but since I have to pay him, you know, give me some more in there too, because Kevin Love is just such a disaster contract. We can't really do anything with him. It'd be interesting to see if that winds up being what it comes down to for the Cavs, right? You can have Colin Sexton. All you've got to do is take Kevin Love. Here's your second round pick for Brock Osweiler, right? All right, let me take a minute here for carsforkids.org. You know, maybe you got that old car that isn't running or is just costing you a fortune to keep repairing. And you know what? Maybe it's time to get rid of it. Well, you know what? You could donate that car to carsforkids.org. They accept all vehicle donations, cars, motorcycles, trucks, any condition, running or not. And you get a full tax write-off for your donation. Mention ESPN Houston, and you'll even get an extra $50 Visa gift card. Can't find the title for the car? No worries. They can do all the title work for you, and pickup of your vehicle is free. Your donation benefits Houston Can Academies, helping to give local Houston kids a second chance at a diploma. So go to carsforkids.org or call 713-725-4226, 713-225-4226 and donate that old vehicle right off the car, not the kid.
Know when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun.
Know when the whistle goes.
Sports. ESPN 97.5. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, one more time. Booker T's Reality of Wrestling, the flagship of Texas Wrestling, hosting their biggest event of the year. It's Summer of Champions 7. It all goes down Saturday, August 14th at the Booker T World Gym Arena in Texas City. And we're giving away winner's choice, 2-pack, 4-pack, 6-pack tickets to the event. And we're going to give away tickets right now. So, again, first three callers, 713-780-3776. First three callers, 713-780-3776. You get your choice, 2-pack, 4-pack, or 6-pack. Summer Champion 7, Saturday, August 14th. All right, we will go to the phones here. And Nick, you're on Late Hits. What's up, Nick? Nick. Bye, Nick. It was nice talking to you. Had some very poignant points.
Yeah, he was really going in about Kyle Kuzma.
Man, those are, you know, a lot of great points there. But, you know, unfortunately, you got to speak them. Can't put them into the dog whistle. So, another time, another place, perhaps. See? Astros, well, they are putting the beat down on the Junk Grabbers. It is 6-0.
I think Kyle hit a 3-run home run.
There was a 3-run Kyle driver.
I like that nickname for it.
385 feet to right field, Kyle Tucker. I think that's his 18th home run of the season.
He's second on the Astros in home runs, right?
Yes, and Jose Altuve is first. They've also gotten an RBI single from Yordan Alvarez.
That's a sack fly.
They've gotten an RBI from Carlos Correa. They've gotten an RBI from Michael Brantley. And now Yuli Gurriel with the sacrifice fly to score Jose Altuve. And it is 7-0 in the fourth. Now, before the game started, I did say this is a good day to take the over. The over is 8.5. So, two more runs. And that's a wiener.
Still a lot of game left, too. It's only the bottom of the fourth.
Still got five more innings for them to get a combined two more runs. As Jake Odorizzi has been terrific tonight, he has allowed one run and one walk through four shutout innings and struck out four. However, his counterpart on the Junk Grabber, well, he's kind of had a little bit of a rough start. Kobe Allard is, well, he's given up 7 runs. 6 of them are earned. And the Astros right now, 7 hits. Also, it didn't help him that the Junk Grabbers were booting the ball all around the field, booting it around in the infield, booting it around in the outfield. So the Junk Grabbers basically playing like a team that's 35-62 and 13-37 on the road. The Astros putting boots to asses like they're supposed to.
Rangers might be sellers here coming up pretty soon.
Oh, the Rangers are definitely sellers. Like I said, the beginning is the only the big question here is Joey Gallo, Kyle Gibson, Ian Kennedy, are these guys going to be on the team before the series is over? Like, are they going to get dealt this weekend? Because while a lot of teams, like you see the comments from James Click, he's kind of taken the slower approach. You know what? We'll wait until a little closer to the deadline. That's kind of when things are really going to heat up for us. If you're a team like the Yankees, you're a little bit more desperate. Maybe the Yankees go and try to pull the trigger on Joey Gallo this weekend. Because the Yankees, believe it or not, finally starting to find a little traction, although they're losing in Boston tonight. but if the Yankees want to get it going, they need bats and they need lefties. They're a very right-handed team. They need to balance their lineup. So Joey Gallo, and then you think about Joey Gallo and his power and, 318 to right field? That's a match made in heaven for Joey Gallo. So that is, you could possibly see the Yankees trying to push that deal sooner than later.
What's the market look like for Kyle Gibson? Who do you think is looking for a starting pitcher, you would think?
The L.A. Dodgers.
Yeah, that's who I would, that would be number one on my
list. I mean, we already know the Dodgers don't give a damn about the tax.
No.
They're already $250-something million in payroll. That means nothing to them. But the idea that they probably are not going to have Trevor Bauer the rest of the year, they're going to look to try to fill that spot. They've got some other guys who they tried to bring up who have gotten injured. So the Dodgers are actively right now looking for starting pitching. So I would not be surprised if the Dodgers are definitely kicking the tires there on Kyle Gibson. Also, the Yankees. Their pitching has not necessarily been all that consistent as far as the rotation goes. A lot of guys were banged up. A lot of guys were hurt. Their bullpen has been pretty good. They really need to score runs. But if you're talking about going to the postseason, they need another quality arm behind Gerrit Cole that they can actually count on. And they don't have that right now. So I can see the Yankees being in on Kyle Gibson as well. The Astros could use a starting pitcher, but let's be real. If you're the Texas Junk Grabbers of Arlington, there is no way on God's green earth you are doing anything to ever help the Astros in anything. Look, if you couldn't help the Astros in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey, you're certainly not helping them now. So, you know, the Junk Grabbers, that's not going to happen. They're not going to do anything with the Astros. The Astros will have to get, you know, they're going to have to get their pieces somewhere else. But the Chicago Cubs will be selling anything that's not bolted down. And, you know, if you're the Astros, Craig Kimbrell should be very, very high on your list of priorities. If you can get Ryan Pressly and Craig Kimbrell and add in Pedro Baez pitching well, stop trying to use Javier as the guy who comes in when the starter can't get out of the fourth and actually use him as a reliever who gives you an inning here and two innings there, you know, sixth, seventh, seventh, eighth, etc. You'd have four quality relievers to the back of that bullpen that you're not worried about blowing games. And between Pressly and Kimbrell, if the Astros get to the eighth inning with the lead, game over. So the Astros, I do expect to be very active, looking for bullpen help, looking for another starting pitcher. Remember, the issue with the Astros is they got a lot of guys with a lot of innings limits. And, you know, there was some a little disturbing comment they were talking about today. There were comments from, you know, from Cleveland about how they might try to push, you know, Luis García as far as they can. That's never a good idea. You've heard me discuss the rule of 50 before. You never want a starting pitcher to throw more than 50 innings over his career high in any given season. Doing so, the following year, there is a really high percentage of both ineffectiveness and injury. And you do not want to be taking your young arms and jeopardizing them. Now, for García, if his max, I think it's like 105 innings or whatnot, does that mean you can push him to 150 innings this year? That's kind of max Q. But again, you're the Astros. You're hoping to pitch. You're hoping to play into late October. So you've got to stretch those 150 innings out all the way to the end of October. You can't burn them, you know, by the time you're in the middle of September. So they've got to be smart about the way they're doing things. You know, Zach Greinke has already had some sore shoulder. Jose Urquidy's on the IL for the second time this year with a sore shoulder. He's not even up to throwing on the mound again yet. He's still throwing from flat ground. So they've got quality pitchers, but they've got innings limit issues and they've got injury issues. So they really need to bolster the rotation, because right now at the major league level, the only guy that you could put into the rotation is Javier, and you got to watch his innings. So they really could use, and this is why signing Odorizzi was so important early in the year. They needed a guy to come in and give them starts. Odorizzi pitching very well tonight as they are in the fifth, up 7-0. And thus far, Jake Odorizzi has held the Junk Grabbers in check. He's allowed one run, one hit, one walk, and has not allowed a run. He's got five strikeouts. So Odorizzi pitching well right now. Now, he's a guy you can start pushing. Odorizzi's been like a five-inning pitcher his whole career. But he's a guy you can start pushing to six innings, maybe to seven innings. So far here, working with two outs in the fifth, he's only thrown 65 pitches. So there's no reason, especially in a game that's 7-0, you can't let him run up to about 90, 95 pitches. Let him build up some innings, because he doesn't have an innings limit issue. Getting into the home stretch next.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, home stretch, Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Let me tell you about our friends at 5 Under Golf Center, Southeast Texas premier entertainment venue. August 9th, Texas singer-songwriter Pat Green in concert on the green. And tickets are available now. All you got to do is go to the website, 5undergolf.com. That's the number 5undergolf.com. Click on the Pat Green banner at the top of the page, and that'll take you to the ticket page. Tickets start at just $20. Now, if you want to do a little VIP type of action, bring a bunch of friends, get some swag, well, you could do that too. There's VIP tables. They got a whole VIP section right by the stage. They hit 8 people each. Or you could get an upstairs or a downstairs bay and have premium concert viewing space for up to 10 total people. VIP options available. Again, Monday, August 9th is the show. And tickets available at 5undergolf.com. 5undergolf, College Street in Beaumont, quarter mile north of I-10. Go check out that event and all the other really cool events that they have at 5undergolf.com. So all the latest reports on everything going on with UT and Oklahoma are that this move to the SEC could be happening very, very soon. It could be officially announced in a matter of weeks. And the first thing is the Big 12 is doomed. certainly the Big 12 as a Power 5 conference, is doomed. No Texas, no Oklahoma, that's no longer a power conference. And the other schools in that conference, they're basically going to become the forgotten eight. You know, there was some reports about Kansas reaching out to the Big Ten, and realistically, the Big Ten's probably going to give them the finger and say, get the hell out of here, clowns. We don't need you. All right, so you have a good basketball team. That's nice. We don't need you. We're about football. You want to be a basketball school? Go join the Big East. And the idea of what would be left of the Big 12, you know, the forgotten eight, and even if they were to pull, say, some teams from the American, teams from Conference USA, whatnot, they're just going to turn from a P5 to a G6 conference. They will wind up being just like the other G5 schools. It'll just be a G6 conference. That's where you'll wind up. And what it does is it puts a lot of pressure on the Pac-12 because the Pac-12 is a mess. And the reason the Pac-12 is a mess is because they did a really poor job of negotiating their TV contracts, and they don't make enough money. They don't compete revenue-wise with the big boys. And with the current reports that the Big Ten is not looking to expand right now, this is where the SEC has the chance to swing the biggest hammer of all time. You're bringing in Texas and Oklahoma. You're going to 16 teams. You just brought in two of the biggest brands in college football. Now's your chance to pick off the Pac-12. Because the schools in the Pac-12, they would absolutely love to get that SEC money. They would absolutely love to be able to say, hey, we play SEC football, not Pac-12. If you're the SEC, right now, this is the perfect time. Call up USC, UCLA, Oregon, Stanford. Hey, how would you guys like to play some SEC football? Take us to 20 teams. By the way, have you seen how much money we make? All the best recruits come here. Do you know how much more money we can charge the networks for the kind of quality football that we are going to put together in our super conference?
It's the Super League.
It basically is. And the potential of going to 20 teams at the same time, if you're the SEC, are you now talking to the ACC? Are you talking to Clemson, Miami, Florida State? You better be talking to Notre Dame and seeing if they'd come in. Because who does Notre Dame usually play? A lot of Pac-12 schools. And you can let Notre Dame keep their NBC contract, and they can be on TV every week no matter what. And they can keep that money, whatever. They're Notre Dame. They're the biggest brand in college football. But to put Notre Dame into the SEC with Clemson, Miami, Florida State, USC, UCLA, Stanford, and Oregon. And now you have the 24-team absolute monster of college football with the actual leverage to terminate their contract and get an even bigger one. SEC football would be must-see. And teams like Vanderbilt would be thanking their lucky stars they were already in the SEC, because if they weren't, there's no chance they'd ever get in. But the SEC here has a chance to be the true monster conference and leave the Big Ten in the dust. The Big Ten will always have Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State, Wisconsin. You know, they're always going to have some big teams. But top to bottom, They would never be able to compete with the SEC if the SEC cherry-picked the Pac-12 and the ACC the way that they are cherry-picking the Big 12. Like, I got to believe somebody sees that. I got to believe somebody sees the opportunity for, like, global domination here when it comes to college football. They don't really need the NCAA anymore because they don't need somebody to tell them, well, you're cheating. You're doing this wrong. You're giving impermissible benefits. Benefits are legal. Paying players is legal. Everything's on above board now. What does the NCAA actually do? Nothing. The NCAA can't wipe its own tuchus. This is the time for the rise of the super conference. And let's be real, with the amount of money that these super conferences are going to drive up, the Pac-12, the top teams of the Pac-12, they've got to look at their TV contract and say, there's no way we can compete. We can't compete making $25 million less per team. Or more. The Pac-12 is doomed. And the top schools in that conference know it's doomed. And right now, this is the hot time to strike. Because the biggest brands are the ones that are going to get in. And everybody else is going to get left behind. And we're going to wind up with two super conferences. And then about a G8. Those G8, they might as well all go FCS and try to challenge Sam Houston State as national champions. Because they're not going to beat the super conferences. Wraps it up for us for tonight. Want to thank our callers, texters, tweeters, and twitchers. Juggy Trey on the other side of the glass. Great job tonight, brother. We're back on Monday, 7 o'clock. Have a great weekend, late hitters.
ESPN 97.5.